All right, so we have an exciting show for you here today. I'm super excited. I don't think I've ever told the listeners this, but I am a dream therapist. I work with people's dreams. And I'm really excited today to have two of the most wonderful teachers I've ever had, Sue Scavo and Bill St. Cyr, teachers of the dream, here in town from Vermont, to speak to us about dreams and their possibilities. And so we'll be doing that for a while, and then we might even hear a word about corruption, which is always a hot topic here on our program. So looking forward to that as well. And then, of course, at 9 o'clock, we'll have Democracy Now! So I hope you'll stay tuned with us. And thanks, Bill and Sue, for being here.
Thanks, Keith, for having us.
It's great to be here.
Yeah. So I guess we'll just start with the question. Why do you think dreams mean something?
She's elbowing me. I mean, I guess for me, I came into the work kind of, had never really thought about dreams. And I mean, it's really kind of a personal experience. Like, I did my first session and I was very politically active and doing a lot of great work, but had a lot of frustration inside myself with not just my personal life, but the way that the political work that we were doing together, like there was always kind of a conflict even within the people working together that we never seemed to be able to work out. And then I did this session, and you know, the dreams we worked with sort of turned some issues for me from the outside world to an inner world issue in a way that was really powerful for me. And I mean, they had a lot of meaning for me in a way that really changed me, changed the course of how I thought about myself and about the world.
Yeah, it's interesting that you brought the word corruption because I think there's a way that the dreams work on that in some way. I mean, you know, there's the outer world corruption and things that we all need to work against and expose. And I think the dreams work on a very personal level to do that. Like the dreams, like why I think it matters is I came to the work. I wasn't very politically active. I was pretty much of a hermit. And, you know, so when I came to the work, it was very much about showing me how I had all these stories about myself that, you know, from when I was a kid and from, you know, my culture. I grew up in Ohio, and, you know, there's a lot of things that I believed about myself that the dreams kind of came and began to confront me on. And so, you know, I had this, like, I guess, a corruption of the mind about who I was and who I wasn't. And the dreams really confronted me on that. And I think they confront in order to show, you know, whatever lie we're living under. And then the dreams, then they want to bring, like, what's actually true about who we are, which for me, like, it was a little easier to see, like, how I had been corrupted, like, how I didn't believe myself about things or how I would judge other people. Or it was, that part was not so hard. I think more my blind spot was, like, has been about who am I really? Like, who am I standing in the light? Who am I standing in the possibility of who I am? So I think, you know, I just love that the word corruption was thrown out there, because I think, you know, I think all of us get corrupted by stories, by our experiences, by any traumas we have, I think we get corrupted by what we've been told and what we believe, and the dreams kind of want to write that in some way.
Yeah, and just for people who've never really heard of dream therapy or dream work, I mean, what is it? Like, how does it work? Just the process of it.
I mean, the process is usually somebody comes in, and, you know, and I mean, I guess I want to say there are, like, a lot of different schools of dream work, and so we're talking about, you know, like, for Sue and I anyway, the tradition of archetypal dream work, and, you know, the way we work with the dream is, it's a lot related to what Sue's saying about story, like, the dream, so someone will come in and tell us their dream, and then we'll go in. I mean, this is what you want to, kind of like what mm-hmm. happens in yeah. a session. Yeah. We'll go in and basically open up their experience of the dream, like how, what their associations are, what their experiences, how they relate to the dream, and then basically explore the possibilities. Because each of us come in, our dreams kind of, on one level, reflect the corruption of the mind that we talk about, like that we've kind of caught in our own corruption, and is one way to say it. And but then usually there's other possibilities in the dream that are hard for us to see. But in the process of really feeling into the actual feeling experience of the dream, other possibilities open up. So we'll have people close their eyes and actually feel into not just their idea of what's happening in the dream, but what they actually feel. And then usually something opens up from there that kind that opens a different story.
Right. It's a collaboration. I mean, for me, it's very collaborative because one of the reasons I really like this particular way of working with dreams that we work with is that it's very collaborative. It's not like we don't have a book that says this is what this means in a dream, because for us, that's not how it works. It's very individual. Everybody's unconscious speaks to, I mean, it's like the dreams want to be in conversation with us. And we each have our own language and we each have our own stories. And so the dreams come through that language and story. So, you know, sitting down with somebody, it really is about collaboration. It really is like asking a lot of questions and seeing what people, what like, you know, if I have a dream about being in New Orleans, for example, my associations with New Orleans are very different than yours. Like I have very little associations because I, you know, I'm from the North. So, but you know, if I had a dream about, you know, maybe Santa Fe, then we may have the same kind of associations. But even then, that would be very different. We could have the exact same dream. It could mean totally different things. So it's very collaborative. It's very creative. You never know what's going to happen when you open a dream up. Even if it's a dream that's like, oh, I think I know what this is. As soon as you ask a question, the person always gives this jewel. And it really opens it up. So, you know, I think of myself as a collaborator with dreamers when I sit with somebody. And really want to explore what it means to them. Because it's the thing, like, it's not about being an authority on dreams. You know, I don't think of myself as I always think of myself as a student of the dream. And every dream is a teacher. So, you know, I feel very humbled whenever I sit with somebody. I feel very kind of awed by the process. And because the dreams are incredible teachers more than anything. Like I said, I think everybody's corrupted in the mind. And I don't want to bring my corruption. You know, I've done this work for a long time, but I have my own prejudices and I have my own ideas about things. And that's why, for me, it's very important to be collaborative and always be asking the person, does this resonate? Does this feel true? Or what is that? Are you sure that's what it was? Or what are you actually seeing? So there's a line of inquiry to follow. And from that exploration is where the kind of the magic happens.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess another thing that comes to my mind is, you know, at the beginning of psychology, dreams were seen as very, very important. And somewhere along the way, that ended. And I'm just sort of curious how you guys conceptualize that, like why maybe dreams weren't seen as important and what their importance might be now, you know, as we sort of are coming full circle around trying to figure out mental illness. I mean, we have a mental illness crisis right now, so how could dreams fit in?
I mean, the historical question is kind of an interesting question. I'm blanking on the movie. What was the movie about Jung and Sabina?
Dangerous Mind.
A Dangerous Method.
Dangerous Method.
You know, the movie's not so great, actually. There's a great book that talks about the history, and the dreams are included in that. I mean, in some ways, it was a little bit too radical for both Freud and for Jung. You know, they were like in a world that germs were just being discovered, and it was all about like how do you kind of find the germ theory of mental illness. And Freud kind of dropped it, and Jung picked it up, but then even Jung like kept the deeper parts of his dream work hidden, like the whole story of the Red Book not coming out until almost 100 years after he started writing it and 50 years after he died. So there's kind of a potential radicalness to dreams, because dreams don't necessarily match the stories that we have in this world. So a lot of mental illness practices are really about making people fit into the world better, whereas dreams don't necessarily, I mean, they can help us to fit into the world better, but their intention, at least in our understanding, is more to find the deeper part of who we are, which in some ways can sometimes mean fitting into the world less, which I don't think fits well with kind of the mainstream mental illness model. It kind of goes against trying to adapt to this world. It's sort of like, how do we actually work against the adaptions that the dream in a way works against the adaptions that we've made, which is really what's really powerful about it. It like gives us a way to like look at how we've adapted to this world, and it gives us a way to like look at another part of ourselves, like to remember, you know, I worked with a guy who had a dream the other night, and he was doing this terrible thing to this animal. He was cutting off its back legs. And, I mean, this is a pretty sweet guy, and he never had a dream like this. So it was like, there was this whole discussion about, one, what was happening, that like he was having this dream now. But it's like the dream also opened the possibility of like this memory of being with animals when he was younger and living on a farm, and sort of who he was as a child with animals, and kind of who he had become, and kind of the compulsive attempt to fit into his job and the culture, and how self-abusive that adaptation was, really. And that answer the question?
Yeah.
I mean, I was thinking about, you know, and if we go back to Jung and Freud, I mean, people were put in asylums, women especially, because they were hysterical. Like, you know, that, you know, most of them probably
had feelings.
They had feelings, you know, and they had trauma. And, you know, I think the material is so hot, people didn't really know what to do with it. I mean, I think if you go way back, they were often, you know, held with great spiritual importance, and I think that the way I kind of feel into it is that there's both. There's like, there is a spiritual journey that can be had through the dreams, obviously, and it can be very practical too. I mean, you know, when you talk about mental illness, like, instead of approaching mental illness as something to fix or something to like help people function in the world, like you said, or fit in, you know, what the dream will do is it'll go to the root of the problem. It won't go to the symptoms. It will go right down to like what the hell's going on and why did that happen? You know, why can't you leave the house, or what happens to you when you leave the house? And then the dream will present not only like what's happening, it'll show you the way through. I mean, and if you can't, like, if a person like can't really begin to open up to what's happening, the dreams will prepare you. And again, it's very individual. I mean, you know, I think what we found is that how dreams work with trauma is actually pretty incredible. I mean, just for me on a personal level, I have sexual abuse in my childhood with my older brother and two of my older brothers, actually. And I didn't even know, because I didn't have any memories, but I knew, like, I didn't want to be in a relationship. I wanted to be a hermit. I had this whole thing. I was just going to go and, like, I mean, I'm a writer too. And my writer friends used to say, oh, you're most likely to end up in a cave writing poems, living with a lot of cats. I mean, that was like kind of the joke, but I thought, you know, that sounds pretty good. And so, like, and I didn't really understand it. And the dreams, like, didn't really begin to bring up what happened with my brother for, like, a year or two. Like, they really prepared me about, like, seeing how I avoid myself and seeing how I avoid relationship. And then they started to take me in. And they took me through in this really sometimes confrontative, sometimes very frightening, but also with a lot of support in a way that is still kind of astonishing to me. I mean, 18 years later, I'm still like, wow, like, how did that happen, and how did I get here? And even with the people I work with, I think, you know, how is this going to happen? How is this person ever going to, like, be able to, you know, step through this piece? And then the dreams take them, like one little step at a time, like one little step, sometimes then a huge leap. But every leap is prepared. And these teachers come in dreams. That's why we call it archetypal dream work. These archetypes come to like give support, to teach, to be sometimes hilarious, to take us into the most frightening things. So, you know, I think it's, you know, it's a fascinating question. People are often asked, like, can this work be done with people who are, you know, seriously, like, mentally ill? And, you know, most of the people we work with are either what we call normal neurotics or, you know, but I think it actually can.
Like us,
you mean. Like us. Yeah, but I think it actually can. I think, with a lot of tenderness, I think it could.
Yeah.
Because I think it does go to the root. I mean, you've had that experience with the people you work with, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I really love what you're saying. And I think something that always comes up to me is I feel like sometimes with the mental illness model that we have right now, there really isn't the assumption that healing is possible.
Right.
You know, it's more of a management. You know, it's not like that it could actually be healed in a legitimate way. So it just sort of brings me to something that I wonder about in general, which is, what is healing and what makes it possible?
Can I just go back to something you said about the mental health thing? You know, I read something recently, of course I saw it on Facebook, but this about this man from Africa who came, a shaman who came and was like kind of appalled with what we do with mental illnesses. And, you know, and I think you're right. I think our particular culture kind of approaches it as something to fix, or you kind of like put people, you kind of hide people away. And, you know, instead of seeing it as an opportunity, like, if something is broken down, that there can be an opportunity there. So, I'm intrigued by that, because I do think people, most people are walking around with something that needs to be healed. And I think people who have breakdowns, they can't manage anymore. And it can actually be an incredible opportunity to get in there and see, like, and if with collaboration, to see what the dreams have to say about it. When I was 13, my father had a quote unquote nervous breakdown, whatever that means. And his the guy he worked with, he was in the hospital for about a month and a half. And his the man he worked with did dreams with him, and it turned his life around. Mm. And I mean, not the way we do dreams, but you know, it was really helpful for him. And I think it kind of woke him up in some way that he had been asleep. So it was this incredible opportunity for him to step out of this. He was in a really terrible marriage with my mom, and to step out of that and to begin his life again. So, you know, and like that, I think that's an example of like an opportunity.
Well, I think that's actually part of the answer to your question in a way, is like, how do we, instead of dealing with the places where there are challenges in our life or dysfunction or neuroses or even just dissatisfaction. I mean, you were talking about hysteria earlier in terms of like Jung and Freud's time. I mean, the amount of, quote, depression there is out there, you know, it's sort of a similar pattern to what was happening in Jung and Freud's time. You know, it's like, what if we looked at that all as an opportunity to, I mean, for me, the word separation comes up. It's just sort of like as a symptom of a separation from some deeper part of ourselves. And the idea of healing being that there is a potential to look at that separation and to actually find a way back to some deeper part of who we are. So for me, healing in a way, you know, it's like healing that separation, but it's also like getting under sort of like what's, so for me, I was like a very anxious, kind of controlling person, and it's like kind of getting under what, how did I become that, and who am I really, and how do I break the patterns that have built up over my life, how do I break the stories that I've learned to believe in about myself, and kind of break that separation, sort of come back to a deeper part of who I am.
Right. You know, when I think about the word healing, like, you know, we all have wounds, like either if it's, you know, the simple separation from ourselves and the healing of that, or if we have like wounds, like actual, you know, trauma, really deep hurts, you know, extreme wounds. I mean, there's a lot of people out there who really terrible things are happening. And, you know, I think what the dreams can do is they can help move through. I think just what happens in trauma is that we have to like disassociate in order to survive it. And so I think the dreams bring us back so we can reclaim what we left behind. You know, like am I healed from my sexual trauma? You know, I suppose in a way I don't really look at it that way. I look at it like, where am I in relationship to it? Like, is it running my life the way it did, you know, 15 years ago before I faced into it? It is not running my life, and it is very much still part of who I am. You know, I don't think about it much anymore. It does come up sometimes in our sexual relationship because we're married. You know, it still sometimes surfaces, but I have a way to work with it now. So, you know, healing isn't like, to me, it's not like coming through and being like, la, like, you know, everything's great now. It's more like, where am I in relationship to my own personal work? And then there's like, you know, a greater healing. Like, what can dreams do in the world? and how can it go from like personal to what happens in the world? It's a question I'm kind of interested in too.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a big one. I guess I just want to touch on, I think, something that comes up very often. Curious what your answer is to it, because like I guess about 70% of the time when I tell people I do this, they say, well, I don't remember my dreams, so I'm out of this section of the world. So what do you tell people when they say that?
Well, you know, for me, it goes back again to that, what we were talking about the conversation. Like, you know, when we separate from ourselves, there's some part of us that gets buried, like in our unconscious, like, and it kind of waits for us. And I feel, and then there's this whole archetypal realm, and I feel like the dreams are coming every night saying, hello, like, I'm here, like, some, you know, hello, there's something going on. And I think as soon as you turn your consciousness to it, and say, okay, what do you have to say? Sometimes the dreams will just, sometimes you'll start to remember. Like, and as soon as you begin to remember a little bit, then you find you remember more. And then this conversation starts. And then the dreams actually begin to change. You know, we worked with this woman. We did a retreat out in Esalen last year. And this woman came who, she said, I've had one dream for the past 20 years. And it was a dream about her mother had died when she was young. I've had one dream for 20 years, and we worked with her dream, and we worked with her, and she came back the next day, and she said, I had three dreams, and it was like
three different dreams.
It was kind of amazing, you know. So, you know, I think we all dream. Like, scientifically, they've proven that we all dream. It's more there is it, to bring an like an intentionality to it, and even if you only catch the tail end of it, even if you only get a moment, sometimes it's the only moment that is like, sometimes it's the key to the whole thing. I mean, there are people who dream in like what I call movie dreams, like, well, then this happened, then it switched, then I was on another planet, and you know, this, you know, they have these long storylines. You know, if you wake up and you think, oh my God, I know all this stuff happened, but I only remember what's one piece, like that is actually like a portal, and that is plenty to work with. I mean, you know, people I work with are like, well, I only had this one little thing. And it doesn't really mean anything, and it's often, you know, one of the most profound dreams we've ever worked. So it really, you only need like a moment or two moments, and I do, and people, I mean, we have found that as soon as you start paying attention.
Yeah, we've never had anybody who's come into the work who doesn't remember, who hasn't learned to remember their dreams.
And then there's like tricks, you know. There are tricks. You keep a pen by the pen and paper.
Little things you can put on your forehead.
Yeah. You know, I used to drink a huge glass of water right before I went to bed, so that I would wake up in the middle of the night in the middle of a dream and have to pee. And then I had a notebook and a pen by in the bathroom, and I would just write down, you know, three lines. And the next morning, it was enough to help me remember the rest of it. So,
plus, it's healthy to drink water.
And to dream.
And to dream. It's both, actually.
Right. I'll take a break real quick. You're listening to WTUL New Orleans on 91.5 FM. The New Orleans Mission, a Christian homeless shelter in Central City, is dedicated to serving the spiritual and physical needs of the poor, needy, and homeless population of New Orleans. The mission provides meals, showers, clothing, shelter, literacy classes, and job skills training to men and women with children. Information about volunteering or donating is available by email or phone. Their email address is brittany@neworleansmission.org, and their number is 504-415-9579. Okay, so I guess another thing I'm curious about is, you know, if someone was just starting to sort of look at their dreams, what kinds of things would you tell them to watch out for or be interested in?
That's a great question.
I mean, you know, there are two things that come up for me right away. It's like most people don't, you know, when they think of their dreams, they don't. Unless they have like a nightmare where they're terrified. Even then, sometimes people have dreams about being chased and they never just like stop and say, I'm scared. So the actual feeling in the dream is one thing. And then I guess patterns is another thing, like to sort of like look at what's happening in the dream and what's familiar. Or is this feeling familiar? Is there something or an association with what's happening in the dream? You know, is it familiar or is it something new? Because we tend to sort of have a hard time seeing the things that are new in a dream. we have a hard time seeing. This is where the collaboration piece comes in, is like we all tend to need, or at least in my experience, somebody to help us see other possibilities. But if you wanted to do that for yourself, the question would be, what's familiar about this, and what would be possible, particularly in context of the feelings? Like, well, if I was just scared as opposed to running or thinking this person was a bad person, would it be different?
Yeah, you know? I mean, yeah, it's okay, fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the first thing I would say is like to begin to like really look at your assumptions in the dreams too. Like, you know, because we have a story about who we are, and the dream has about a story about who we are, and they usually don't match, and they want to match. You know, eventually, what the dreams want to do is to have your unconscious have what the dreams, how the dreams see you, match with who you are, and then manifest that. Really, is what to me what the journey is about. So when you look at a dream, you know, often the first line of inquiry with somebody is like, well, did you really see that dead body? Or, you know, did you really see the flood? Or, you know, what are you really seeing? So it's like to begin to question your own assumptions about what's happening in the dream. You know, was there a scary man, or what was he actually doing? Like, sometimes people will be like, oh, this person was trying to kill me and I knew they wanted to shoot me. But as soon as you slow it down and say, well, what do you actually see? Well, they're just kind of standing there. Well, if you look at them, do they look mean? Well, not really. Then what are they doing? Well, nothing. It's like, well, can you see maybe you have an assumption about what's happening? And there's usually a reason why you have that assumption, but it really is like the first thing is just to challenge yourself. Like, well, what actually was happening in the dream? And then from there, like, then it is about like, well, you know, what am I feeling, or what am I not feeling? You know, am I watching it from far away and I have no feeling watching this thing, or am I involved, or am I doing something that I always do in a dream, or?
Well, or even to look at the assumptions, like how familiar are those assumptions, and right. What does it mean that I'm making those assumptions in the dream? Usually says something about what we're assuming in our lives.
Right. And, you know, in relationship, because the dreams can be very much about like how we are. I mean, to me, the dreams can be very, you know, for me, it is my spiritual practice. And so, you know, there's the spiritual part of it and how I am in relationship with that, mm-hmm. Which, again, one of the reasons I really love this work is that it doesn't have to be everyone's journey is different. And the dreams really honor that. So there is that. And then there's also like the practical, like how am I in relationship with my husband? Like, am I in some old pattern with him? You know, if he appears in a dream, I'm like, okay, so what are we doing? Like, what am I doing with him? Am I pulling some old pattern I have of like going silent, which is one of my old patterns, or am I in relationship with him? So I think they teach on this very practical level. And I think they also, you know, want to take us on a deeper journey. So I think, you know, that would be another way to kind of look at the dream. Like, also just assume, like, look at assumptions, but then also like begin to ask, like, what are they trying to talk to me about? Like, what, you know, they're trying to tell me something. Mm-hmm. What is it? And to even go in with that question, it can be really helpful. I mean, I do that sometimes. I'll be like, okay, I don't know what's going on with this one thing. I need some help. And, you know, I'll get a dream. It won't make sense often. I'll be like, okay, I don't know what the hell that means. But, you know, like, if you kind of just stay with it and stay with the feelings, things can emerge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I do think it can be really helpful to work with somebody, because the dreams do kind of go after our blind spots. They go after our blind spots, you know, about how we are separate and how we keep people away from ourselves. And they also work on the blind spots, again, about who we are. You know, who we are as a person, a spiritual being, or just, you know, a person in the greater world. So, you know, it's hard to see our blind spots. It's hard to see, like, you know, we think we're just being this, and the dream will say, well, actually, it's this. And, you know, when we work with our own dreams, sometimes we miss that piece because it's a blind spot. So.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes I conceptualize it like, the dream is like in negative, like if it's a picture, then there's like the negative, and like we're always coming from the picture, so it's really hard to see what the negative is showing.
Right.
But I guess I think you've spoken about this a little bit already, but could you just speak a little more about transformations or healings or changes that you've seen in people that you work with or yourself through this process?
You know, I guess it's easier to talk about clients probably, but you know, for me, it's been a huge thing for me to not sort of project my inner anxiety onto the world. And I, you know, it's sort of an interesting question in relation to the healing. Is that completely gone? No. It just doesn't have the same kind of power for me. It's like I've just learned, like, for example, when you're talking about relationship with the two of us, I've learned when there's an issue in the relationship to, like, take a breath and ask what's happening for me inside first. And that's been an incredible gift because I couldn't do that 20 years ago. I couldn't do it 15 years ago. I couldn't do it 10 years ago. You know, everything was always about something that was happening in my outer world. And that's a very hard way to live, to be at the whims of the world around us. I think we live in a very challenging culture in that way. And to have space, for me, there's a huge amount of healing just to have space from that, to be able to take a breath and say, yeah, there might be all this crazy stuff going on around me. There might be somebody mad at me, or there might be this crisis. But to be able to take a breath and say, okay, like, what's happening inside myself? And can I meet this situation with some deeper part of who I am? Can I meet it with the kind of love that I've wanted to have my whole life? But can I actually kind of, I mean, that was kind of the issue for me in relationship, is I wanted love out of the relationship. I wanted to sort of find, I thought there was healing in relationship, and I think there is, but I've turned that equation around. It's more like what can I bring to the relationship? And the healing in a way is about finding that part of myself. So then, you know, regardless of what happens in a relationship, I still have that part of myself. And having that part of myself, relationship works a lot better.
Yeah. I mean, on a personal level for me, you know, I didn't end up in a cave with cats, and which is good. You know, like, I think that, you know, I had a lot, you know, one of the stories was that I should never have children because I came from this really difficult family. And I had this story that I would hurt a kid. And, you know, that's kind of a harsh thing to think about yourself, and, you know, and that I should never be in a relationship, I should always be single, that I should always, you know, be alone, and that was the best way. And, you know, on just like on sort of that kind of practical level, and I should never work with other people. I mean, I had all these stories about it, and because I had like a lot of shame. So, you know, the dreams really helped to break that, you know, like to see like, oh, actually, why I was so vehement about not wanting to have a kid is because I actually wanted to have a kid. And it kind of undermined like my desire around that. And I actually wanted to be in a relationship, and I wanted to be working with others. It kind of, everything I really wanted to do, the shame that I carried around my trauma said, don't do that. You can't. Actually, you're too corrupt. You know, I love the word corruption because I felt like I was too corrupt. And so like on a practical level, you know, my life is totally different. You know, we have a 13-year-old, and you know, I'm married, and, you know, it's like, you know, and I work, you know, I'm doing this thing that I really love, which is working with people in their dreams. And so there's that, you know, on a personal level, you know, and I think I've, you know, with people I've worked with, I've seen like once the stories we carry begin to get challenged, it's like the possibility opens for like, then who am I? If I'm not the thing I believed I was my entire life, then who am I and what's possible? And, you know, it's really kind of amazing to be with someone as they begin to blossom, as they begin to be like, to ask the question and to explore what that could be. And it's very radical. It's a very, you know, we talk about like radical politics, and which I think are very important. And I think it's really radical to begin it, like to break your own story before, you know, anything else can happen. So I think, I think that's been the most kind of astonishing thing, is that it gives people space to like accept things in themselves. I mean, most people are like, you know, we've been talking about like how we shrug things off lately. It's this great William Stafford poem about how we shrug and then we follow the wrong gods home. And I've been thinking about that a lot, about like, you know, all the shrugs we do. Like, sometimes it's a verbal shrug. Someone will say this really profound thing and they'll say, well, I don't know. Or, you know, anyway, let me talk about like the weather. And it's like catching all those things, all the, you know, the little shrugs and the big shrugs. And then like, I don't know, there's just so much space that can happen. And then we get to find out who we are. And the dreams can help. And even in that part, they can take us through all, you know, our trauma work, of course, and they take us through like all the ways we want to stay isolated. And then it can say like, okay, now what? You know, I had a dream once recently, actually, where I was standing with this huge fire and this man who was an archetypal figure. I was like, because I'm going through a lot of changes right now, and this huge structure was burning down. It was like really fun, and I was just enjoying the fire. And he just looked at me and said, "Okay, now what?" And I got really scared. I was like, "Oh my God!" Right now, it's like now there's like, you know, I'm on this new landscape, and I realized I was really scared. And it was really helpful because I was like, "No, this is really good. This change is great." And it is. It's totally great. And underneath it was this fear because I'd been living with the structure that was comfortable before. Mm-hmm. And now I didn't have that, which was good. But it was like, oh, right. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. So if people are interested in learning more about dreams, there's a big event this Sunday from 2 o'clock to 7:30 at 720 Mandeville Street, In Search of the Living Dream. Bill and Sue will be teaching at 3. I'll be teaching at 2. There's going to be dreams and poetry, dreams and fiction at 4 and 5. There's going to be a panel at 5. It's all for a very low price, and it'll be really exciting. So you can visit dreamitout.com to learn more about that event. Anything else you guys want to?
Well, I think there is something really creative about this whole process, and I think it really does, like, what's the possibilities? Like, it is very creative. I think it opens people's creativity, whether it's, like, literally, like, writing or art or whatever, or how we work with, you know, in politics, or how we work in our jobs, or how we work, you know, going against corruption. Like, you know, I think, like, it opens this incredible possibility around our own creativity, so... you know, it's exciting to explore those things. It's going to be a fun event on Sunday. We have people come.
Yeah, and it's exciting to be part of a community of people that are, like, looking at their lives in this way and looking at what's possible and sharing, like, sort of people's struggles and the healing that people... It's kind of a great way to be in relationship in the world, and it's a kind of exciting part of it for me.
Definitely. Well, yeah, thanks so much for coming.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Kezia.